I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi guys, I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture Football.
And I'm Andrew Pollard from What Culture Football.
And we are here with your football news. And as always, Andrew, let's start off with the latest on the Lionel Messi situation. Huge developments on that over the weekend, of course. But even more developments involving the Barcelona president today.
Yeah, it looks like just it's time is coming for Josep Bartomeu. We heard last week about how it looked like he was going to be leaving early. Then there was talk of maybe him going to prison. That was a story one day. If he saw Messi, he'd be liable to a new president for mishandling of assets. And now it's just like more and more pressure on him from this the statement that Messi put out on Friday, I think it was, where Messi just had the most, I don't know, reluctant husband speech ever of like, oh, I really want to leave, but I kind of can't. But I'm staying, but I don't really want to be here. But I'm not going to take the club to court because I really love the club, but I hate being here. It's like, it was just so, such a bizarre, not a bizarre statement to see. It was just, it was fascinating to see that story come out of, yeah, Messi's going. He's going to Manchester City. Oh, he's staying. But he doesn't want to stay. And it's, of course, it sort of all comes down to the fact that Messi was under the impression that he could leave at the end of the season. Apparently, Bartomeu had agreed that with Messi that, look, if you're not happy at the end of the season, you can go. Messi went to Bartomeu at the end of the season, said, look, I'm not happy, so I'm going to go. And then he went, well, we've kind of given you till the 10th of June to let us know about that. And at the 10th of June, this was a time when La Liga, Barcelona were top of La Liga, they were still in the Champions League, and so there isn't necessarily that unhappiness was there then. I mean, even if they'd have won La Liga, he may have ended up looking to go anyway, and obviously with the season being delayed because of the thing we cannot talk about particularly, then Messi was trying to go now. It's come out that no, he can't go, and now he's saying that he will stay because he has to stay, and Barca said he can go, but it's only if somebody pays €700 million, which nobody's going to do for a 33-year-old, even if that is Leo Messi. And now with Bartomeu, just all this that Messi's come out and said all of this, and he's talked about how he told his family they were leaving Barcelona. His kids were crying at the news, at the news of changing schools. He'd gone through all the process. He told Ronald Koeman that he wasn't going to be playing for him this coming season. Everything was ticked, and obviously he supposedly reached out and had conversations with Pep Guardiola. Then it's just like, no, I can't go. I'm just going to stay and be miserable. And that just puts double the pressure on Bartomeu, because part of Messi's just been very clear with saying, look, the president had promised me I could go if I wanted to go. I think it's best for the club myself. This is Messi, because he thought it could refresh the squad. Obviously, that any money they could get for him, then they could use that to refresh the squad as well. It means that the fans are now, I guess they were doubling down already, but tripling down their anger at Bartomeu. And it looks like he's going to be leaving by March at the latest March next year, because that's when they're going to bring him forward the next elections. And it all kind of stems down to Bartomeu doesn't want to be seen as in the history of Barcelona as being the president that let Leo Messi go. so whoever takes over from him, that may well be their sword to fall on. It's a crazy situation, and you feel that there's still probably more to come in this. There's more twists and turns, brother. Swerve. It's like Vince Russo is booking Barcelona.
Exactly.
Lionel Messi on a pole match.
Bartomeu was always going to be the villain of this, but it's been completely finished off by these developments over the last few days. It's going to be very interesting. I don't take it as a given that Messi leaves at the end of next season either, because we always see when new presidents come in, all these promises of change and what have you. And there's no doubt that they will be trying their darndest to make sure they don't have that title of the president who let Messi go. So they will promise him the world, you sense. But yeah, I think this is quite possibly the worst resolution for everyone. Yep. Like, Koeman's still screwed because he has no money to buy a squad. Of which he likes about four players of it.
Yep.
Messi doesn't want to be there. You know, City haven't got their... It's just an absolute shambles. But as you mentioned, I'm sure this is a story that's going to continue rolling on over the next few days, weeks, months. And very interesting to see how Barcelona start next season and how Messi plays. It's going to be fascinating. Mm-hmm. Let's move on and talk about transfers that have happened. Later on today, we should get confirmation that Callum Wilson and Ryan Fraser have signed for Newcastle, both undergoing medicals later on today. Ryan Fraser, of course, a free agent after leaving Bournemouth when his contract ended in June. He'd been linked with the likes of West Ham and Crystal Palace, but after having face-to-face discussions with Steve Bruce on Friday, he decided he wanted to head up north to Newcastle. And Callum Wilson is set to complete a £20 million move from Bournemouth. A lot of people assumed he may be heading to Villa. I think they had a bid of £20-21 million accepted. There was negotiations between Villa, Newcastle, Bournemouth, and of course Wilson going on over the weekend. Then eventually, I think Villa withdrew their offer. Callum Wilson heading to Newcastle, as I said though today, to complete a medical. 28 years old. Decent signing, I'd say, for Newcastle. And we're doing our preview of Newcastle season in the next few days. And I sense this is going to change the way we talk about them, at least in terms of slightly more positive staying in the Premier League.
Yeah, I think it's a good move all around for everybody, really. I think Callum Wilson's one of those strikers where he's scored a decent amount of goals considering the team that he's been playing for. I mean, we all like to watch Bournemouth play. Maybe not last season. It wasn't great for them, obviously. Yeah. But traditionally, they've been nice to watch. They've been easy on the eye. But they're not necessarily known for scoring that many goals. And he's got a fair return of goals over the last few seasons in this side. I mean, this past season, he got 9, which in a team that got relegated, it's not completely awful stats, I guess. And obviously England international, I think the last time he played for England was the end of last year, maybe November of 2019. The only ever Bournemouth player to score for England, one goal in 4 caps, scored his debut against the USA, I think it was. So I think it's for £20 million, I think it's a good deal for Newcastle. For him himself, I mean, obviously it's a different situation right now because fans aren't in stadiums, but I think the allure of going and playing at St James's Park and kind of a packed out 40,000 screaming Geordies who historically as well adore their strikers, adore their number nines. And that's another caveat to this story, that supposedly he's going to get the number 9 shirt, which Big Joe Linton had last season, which in one way, I think if that does happen, I think it takes pressure off Joelinton in one way. And also, we've seen that Callum Wilson has proven to score goals. Newcastle fans love his that number 9 shirt. And as for Ryan Fraser, again, free transfer. I think it's a strange one with him because he looked such a player, and then this past season he seemed to go off the boil a bit because it seemed apparent that he'd had his head turned, that we'd known for the longest period of time that he was going to run down his contract and go for free. And you hear Spurs and Arsenal were looking at him and looking to make a move. And I think, and maybe even Liverpool at one point, I think were mooted with it. And I think maybe he's got that in his head. His form wasn't great this season. And when he's gone to make his big free transfer, it's not Spurs, it's not Arsenal, it's not Liverpool, whoever. It's his choices of being Newcastle, Crystal Palace, Aston Villa, those sort of West Ham. Mm-hmm. But I think, again, I think it's a good fit for him. And you think that those two players, having played together for so many years now, I think it's a good bit of business for Newcastle, definitely.
Yeah, I think Bournemouth are going to struggle next season in the Championship, and we're going to struggle regardless. And I think these are two great signs for Newcastle. We'll go into more detail when we preview Newcastle's Premier League season coming up in the next few days, because I think this is... Callum Wilson especially is a really, really good signing for them. But let's move on anyway and round up what happened in the Nations League over the weekend. A sensational victory for England. It is still coming home, Andrew Pollard. An emphatic 1-0 victory with a last-minute penalty scored by Raheem Sterling. Yes, granted, Iceland went straight to the other end and got another penalty because Joe Gomez can't defend, apparently. Decides to pulled someone back in the penalty area, but he skied it. He did his best Chris Waddle impression, the Iceland boy. Raheem Sterling scored the penalty. Bit of a crap penalty, if I'm honest. A very dull game. I thankfully didn't watch it. Even the highlights were kind of dull. Bit of controversy. Harry Kane scored. He's given his offside, I believe. No VAR, of course, should have been given. But a crap game, but a decent result. What about some of the others? Wales got on well, of course, didn't they?
Yes, Wales. Wales.
Some of the others.
Yeah, Wales had two wins, two victories, both 1-0s, both, again, I'm being very honest, both very dull games. The first was a 1-0 win over Finland with Kiefer Moore scoring, Cardiff's Kiefer Moore, and there's this weird ongoing thing with Wales fans, well, certain sections of Wales fans, where the Cardiff fans hate Swansea players, Swansea fans hate Cardiff players, and there's this, like, bickering on Twitter about, like, Kiefer Moore scored. It's like, well, and so I don't get it, but I am just a Wrexham fan. And then yesterday, as we're recording this on Sunday, Wales got an away win against Bulgaria with Nico Williams, Wrexham born Nico Williams, with a last minute header, who made his international debut in the Finland game and just looks like a great player. So yeah, from the Kevin, which is about 5 minutes from where I'm sat right now, Kevin Mauer is where Nico Williams is from, so massive congratulations to him. But away from England and away from Wales, Italy had a surprising 1-0 draw, I thought, with Bosnia and Herzegovina. Stefano Senti scoring for Italy and Edin Dzeko equalising for Bosnia. That was in Group A1. Stefan Bergwijn got a winner for the Netherlands against Poland. 1-0 victory again in Group A1. The names, like, they sound like roads. Well, I was looking at the groups and it's like, so A3, Portugal had, they spanked Croatia. That was that was one when I was looking through the results that jumped out, 4-1. And that's a Cristiano Ronaldo-less Portugal as well. A goal there for Manchester City's João Cancelo. Denmark lost 2-0 to Belgium, and that's in Group A2, which is the same as the England group. France get the 1-0 win away at Sweden, killing Mbappe on the score sheet there in Group A3. Germany getting a 1-0 draw, maybe a surprising 1-0 draw away against Switzerland. Ilkay Gundogan putting them ahead, that's in Group A4. And then Sylvain Vidmar, he equalised for Switzerland. But more importantly, I thought, was in the same group, in Group A4, the same group as Germany and Switzerland, was Spain, who turned it on. Absolutely beautiful. Ansu Fati absolutely stealing the show, who only made his international bow in the previous game against Germany, which was, I think, last Thursday. That was a draw. Spain turning over the Ukraine 4-0 with Sergio Ramos bagging two. And not just two goals for Sergio Ramos as, like, what's this random event? No. He's got 10 goals in his last 15 international appearances. It's insane for a defender. I mean, obviously he's on penalties these days as well, but you look at Sergio Ramos and people keep thinking, oh, is he, this is it, he's going to be past it now, is this his last year, is this gonna, how long has he got left, and he just keeps on performing.
Yeah, great stuff. Disappointing result for Ireland, I saw over the weekend as well. But in speaking of the Spain game, 4-0 over Ukraine, Ansu Fati and Sergio Ramos making history in that game. Ramos, I believe, scoring his 23rd goal for Spain. He surpasses Passarella in their all-time top scorers. He's already the defender now with the most goals as an international in the history of world football. And Ansu Fati became Spain's youngest scorer at 17 years and 311 days old. He is one of the few bright lights to look at Barcelona. But it's the Nations League. It's slightly better than a friendly. We'll no doubt talk about it tomorrow ahead of England's game against Denmark. But let us know your thoughts on that and all of today's news stories in the comments section below. Don't forget to like, share and subscribe. And subscribe to What Culture Football, the daily football podcast, if you are out and about. And let us know in the comments section how you want us to look ahead to the upcoming season. Any content you'd love to see from us here at What Culture Football. We've got our previews of all the Premier League clubs that are coming out, but we are open to suggestions. Let us know. And continue the conversation on Twitter at WhatCultureFC. Watch today, you can follow both of us. Andrew, where can people get you on Twitter?
You can get me at Cultured Left Peg.
You can find me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureFC, as I said. But for now, my thanks to Andrew Pollard. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.